Welcome back to the program. Over the past 60 years, millions and millions of words have been written about the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. The net result of most of those words have been to perpetuate the conflict. Today we focus on one story, a very personal story of one man truly dedicated to healing and to peace. In January of 2009, he experienced something that would destroy most men, something that would unleash the worst of human impulses. Yet he transcended that and in so doing perhaps became a symbol of the humanity of man and for the hope that still to this day drives people to seek peace. Dr. Izzedine Aboulaish is a Palestinian physician, an infertility expert born and raised in the refugee camps of Gaza. He's practiced and studied medicine in Cairo, in London, at Harvard, in Tel Aviv, and Toronto. He's currently an associate professor at the University of Toronto and author of his memoir, I Shall Not Hate, A Gaza Doctor's Journey on the Road to Peace and Human Dignity. Dr. Izzedine Aboulaish, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you here. Tell us a little bit about what happened in January of 2009.
What happened in January 2009, I refer to it as a craziness in this world. In the 21st century, still we believe in violence and military ways where the means of fighting have changed. And we need to fight by recognizing the other and saving lives and giving and with the technology. On that day, I was sitting with my daughters with the situation in Gaza, and a quarter to 5 p.m., a tank shell in a crazy moment to hit my house, killing three of my daughters, niece, and severely wounding other members. It's a moment that I don't want anyone on earth to witness or see what have I seen, to see those lovely girls becoming parts, decapitated, drowning in blood, spreading everywhere. But after I have saw that, after I have seen that, I realized this tragedy came to save lives and to make a positive difference in others' lives. And that's what is needed to do. The second day of the tragedy was announced unilateral ceasefire by Ehud Olmert to save lives. But we don't want to be killed and to sacrifice to save. We need to sacrifice from goodwill without any other sacrifices. That's what is needed. It opened the eyes of the international community, the Israeli public, the Palestinian people. What are we doing? Where are we going? Is it the right way? That's what happened in that day.
And for years, you had commuted between Israel and Gaza. You had experienced what it was like to have a foot in both worlds. Talk about that.
As a Palestinian who was born, raised, and lived in Jabal refugee camp in the Gaza Strip, I practice medicine from the belief that medicine has one face. It has a human face where medicine gives. And medical doctors are messengers of humanity, and they can make a difference. I practice it, and it opened my eyes about the Israeli public, what do we call the other side, and also the Israelis to see the Palestinian. Who is this? What do we call the other? He is similar to us. He is skilled as we are skilled. He is a human as we are. And he saves as we save lives. That's what gave me the impression, even the strength, to continue that mission because I believed in it. And that's the message for everyone in this world. Can leaders, can people outside to learn what medical doctors and healthcare providers practice within the borders of the hospital where they give their patients to save their lives and with the privacy, with equality, with respect. Our goal, our happiness when we see our patients discharged from the hospital, healed and recovered. And that's what is needed from others to deal with others with respect, with equality, with justice, aiming for one goal, to give happiness and to heal others.
From your own experience, you were the first Palestinian to work in an Israeli hospital, as a doctor in an Israeli hospital. What was that experience like?
It was a unique experience. But the most important of it, as I said, I believed in it. And when I went there, it was in 91, to be introduced to my Israeli colleagues there. And when I was introduced, telling them that I'm from Jabalia refugee camp in the Gaza Strip, they started to look what's going on, because the Israeli colleagues and the Israeli public, they used to see the Palestinians as workers, and now they are seeing the Palestinian doctor as a medical doctor, as equal to them, as a skill to them. It made a difference, and that's the message I wanted. Even when I used to treat the patient, they asked me, from where are you? They thought that I am an Israeli Palestinian Arab who is living in Israel. No, I want them to know that I am Palestinian from Gaza Strip, and that we are similar, and we can live together, and we have the commonalities between us are more than, far, far than any differences, those few differences. And it made a difference in others' impression and knowledge, and I missed it. It became my house.
Given that the mistrust is so deep, though, and you talk about that mistrust both in a broader sense and in terms of just the humiliation of crossing that border day in and day out, talk a little bit about how you think it is possible, given that situation, to transcend that.
Mistrust, I think it's artificial. We are preoccupied about it, and we are stereotyped about it. And that's what is needed. We created it. We created fences and barriers in our minds. And what is needed, each of us, those barriers, those mental, physical barriers inside, we need, and there is urgent need to smash them and to open our eyes, that we have two eyes to look, because the trust is mutual. We need to trust others in order to be trusted. And that's the case. We don't want to hide and to hide our bodies, our heads in the sand like the ostrich because of fear and the trust. The challenge and the courage is to challenge that and to face it. There is a problem, so how can we solve it? What can I do? What can I change in myself? And then the others will change.
Where did you find the strength? What in your upbringing in that refugee camp gave you the strength to deal with what you dealt with on that January day?
The strength that I have from my life that I ran as a child in a refugee camp, suffering, that I never tasted, the childhood. So I felt I am immunized against any more tragedies, because every day was a tragedy in my life. Every day was, you know, painful experience in my life. My mother, my parents, she helped me a lot. I learned from her. My daughters, my wife, and my faith. My faith has a strong and efficient role in the way that I face any other tragedy. And also my medical profession to move forward. As a medical doctor, I deal with patients to save them. I don't deal with dead patients. The faith is important. It's important to have faith, whatever is your faith, because in my faith as a Muslim, and every one of us even as a human being, to go beyond that, you may like something now and later on to say, oh, it is not for good, to realize it's not good for you. And the other time also, you may dislike something to say, oh, I don't want it, but later on to say, oh, it was good for me. So that's the issue. We need long-term vision and not to be reactive or impulsive. And that's what I said. This tragedy was for good and will be for good, because seconds after I left my daughter's room, I was the first help came. Why? I was saved. Seconds. Because what happened in Gaza, it's a crazy situation of all of that, the war. It's a craziness of humanity. And that's what do we need to speak loudly to stop any military approaches in this world. It's not the right approach. It's futile. It proved its failure between Palestinians and Israelis, not today, decades ago. And that's why I believe I was saved to see that, because if I stayed 5 seconds, I would be gone with my daughters and will be considered numbers as hundreds of others who were killed.
And yet there were so many of your friends and neighbors in Gaza that wanted revenge.
But revenge Revenge is not the right. Revenge for what? If someone did something wrong to me, am I going to resume or to get what have I lost if I got revenge from the other? I fully believe. And I want everyone to understand that revenge will never help. Some people, they think Islam recommends revenge, soul by soul, teeth by teeth, eye by eye. But there is another holy statement. If you endure patiently and forgive, God will reward you. What do we need more than the reward from the God and to feel happiness and to understand, if I got revenge, am I going to get what have I lost? The antidote of revenge, the antidote of hate is to succeed, to challenge, to stand up strongly. And the one that you plan to get revenge from, to say to him, I will never collapse. I will never deal with you in the way you dealt with. And I am challenging you, standing stronger without being destroyed with what did you do to me. And I will succeed and move forward. That's the challenge. Each of us, we must adopt that. That's the way and that's the strength. We must feel the anger and the outrage. And we don't want to feel angry and outrage and to lose control. We need to feel angry and outrage and to direct our energy in a positive way to help the holy and noble cause.
That's certainly a very fine line, to feel that anger and to feel that outrage and to channel it in a positive way and not in an impulsive and reactive way.
Because if we behaved in that way, we would regret. And many times, give yourself a time for this acute wave of anger or outrage to go down and disappear. If you allowed it to dominate and to control you, you will be misdirected and misbehave yourself. And the strongest person is not the one who is strong physically or a wrestler. The strongest is the one who behaves himself when he's in anger. And that's what is needed, to learn that, to be immunized against the anger and the hate.
And how has this message been received, as you've put this message out there since 2009? Talk a little bit about how people in Gaza, in Israel, have reacted to your message.
As I said, this message, it's not for Palestinians and Israelis. This message is a human message. It's to everyone who cares about others in this world, who cares about himself, who cares about his neighbors, who cares about his nation and other human fellows. That's the message. I can say to you, I am here now in Atlanta because I feel inspired. It strengthened my hope, and there is hope in this world, and we can live and have a better, a brighter future for us and for our children. That's why I am doing it. I am more determined, more strengthened than before. I believed in it. But I feel the ground is receptive for this message in a time of despair, frustration, where the people, they lost hope. But now I feel it among their voices. What can we do? You changed our lives. You made a difference in our lives. And we will move forward. So it made a difference. And at least I am satisfied about what am I doing to do my part.
Dr. Izzedine Abolesh, his memoir is I Shall Not Hate, A Gaza Doctor's Journey on the Road to Peace and Human Dignity. Doctor, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.